As I said, we're in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We are talking about our attitude toward the trials of this life. Now, we talked a little bit about this kind of in our introduction of James chapter 1. What did we say about the trials that we face in this life? What did we say about the trials that we face in this life? They come in what? All kinds of ways. What am I talking about? The trials that we face in all kinds of ways.
Physical, emotional,
We're supposed to count it joy when we have trials.
Right.
If we have Christ.
Right.
I mean, it'll be a joy. But if we don't have Christ, that changes the picture.
Yes, ma'am. You're exactly right. And so we're not talking about just one thing that we face in this life. We're talking about all kinds of things that we encounter in our life. Now, as we think about trials as a whole, what do the trials reveal? What do they reveal about us?
Weakness.
Okay. They can reveal our strengths, but also our weaknesses. Maybe another way of looking at it is like this. The trials that we face in this life, they help us see what direction we're headed in. Okay? Think about it like that. They help us see what direction we're headed in. Chris, can I get you to turn over to Proverbs 24? Proverbs 24, and read verse number 10 for me. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. Again, think about it like this. As we encounter trials, spiritually speaking, they help us see what direction we are headed in. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. Solomon says something here that to me is worthy of our consideration.
If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small.
Now think about that. Adversity, trials, okay? The trials, the adversity that we face in this life, remember, we view those things as that friction that can polish our faith like a diamond in the rough. A lot of times we talk about Peter. Peter was a diamond in the rough as the Lord was working through Peter, and he became a solid rock, you see, in the faith. And it was through the trials that he encountered that caused him to be stronger. If thou faint, Solomon says, in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And as I said, the purpose of trials, they reveal our strength, they reveal our weaknesses. And so as we think about this in a practical way, and I really believe as you study the book of James, the book of James is very practical. I think it's important to keep it practical. And so as we think about the trials that we face in this life, it's important to have the right attitude, okay? The right attitude toward the trials. What else did we say about trials from the context here of James 1 in relation to temptation? Because James talks about both. He talks about the outward trials, the various trials, James 1, 2 through 4. But then he talks about temptation later on in James 1, verse number 13. Okay? And there's a difference between the outward trials that test our faith versus those enticements to sin against God and His will. What did we say about the devil? Looking at Job. What was Job facing? Trials, right? What was the devil doing? Tempting him. Put it together, the devil would love to take those trials that we're encountering and turn them into a temptation to draw us or pull us away from God. And so that's why it's important to understand the purpose of trials, to have the right attitude toward trials, because trials have a way of bringing us closer to God. But you can see how the devil wants to take that adversity and use it against you to tempt you, to entice you, to the language of James 1, 14 and 15, to lure you away from God. That's his goal. And that is his purpose. And so James has a lot to say. The Holy Spirit has a lot to say about these trials that we all encounter in this life. And they come in all different kinds of ways. And so we need to improve our concept. We need to understand the purpose. And we're looking at points just from the text. Points that can help us have the right attitude. Yes, sir.
I've got written in the, in the margin here, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I think this certainly is applicable here. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
Okay, exactly. And two, you'll see how 1 Corinthians 10 really fits in there with James 1, 14 and 15, as James talks about that process of temptation. We learn that God is not the tempter, the devil's the tempter, and with every temptation, we learn from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that there is a way of escape. And so again, all of those things really put us in the position to have the right attitude toward trials, the right attitude toward temptation. And it's important to understand this. And again, this is so practical. But if we're going to have the right attitude, what kind of attitude from verse 2 must we have as we approach the trials? What kind of attitude? And it's been mentioned already. A joyous attitude. Now, how do we have that? I mean, you stop and think about it. How can we cultivate a joyous attitude in the midst of adversity? Well, listen to what James says. My brethren, you count it. Other translations, I believe, my brethren, you what? Consider it all joy. This particular word carries this idea. You look ahead. Here's another word. You look ahead. You look forward. Now, I distinctly remember this. Brother Leonard led us in, I believe it was the closing prayer, opening prayer last week. And I was thinking about our class during that prayer. Just thinking about what we talked about and the trials. And Brother Leonard mentioned something that just, it caught my attention. And again, he talked about looking forward to being in heaven. Okay, think about that. Looking forward. You see, as the children of God, we are looking forward, right? That's how we live our lives. We are looking ahead. We looked at an example who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You remember what we said about Jesus from Hebrews 2, 12, 2? Who counted all joy. What was he doing? He was looking forward, right? Not necessarily at the agony and the suffering and the punishment that he was facing when he was beaten, when he was hung. He endured so much pain, but he considered it all joy because he was looking forward to the time, looking ahead when his Father would raise him from the dead and when he would be sitting at the right hand of God, giving us the opportunity to be saved from our sins. And so because of what we know, because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, as we face trials, adversity, we can look ahead. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. If you would, go back to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Now, we're going to work our way backwards, all right? Philippians chapter 4. Familiar context. And you look at chapter 4, what is Paul encouraging here in chapter 4? Be happy, right? We always quote Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Be happy. If you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, you have fellowship, you have a relationship, and it's that fellowship with God that makes us happy.
And you can count on Jesus.
Exactly right. Now, think about Philippians 4. You think about the statement Paul made. Where was he?
In prison.
Why? Did he steal? Did he hurt somebody? No. He was in jail because he was a Christian and he preached the gospel. Okay? And here he is in a Roman prison cell and he says, you know what? I'm happy. I want you to be happy. You know why, Paul? And maybe I've missed this, okay? But this fits right in with James chapter 1. Do you know why Paul could say that in Philippians chapter 4? What was Paul doing?
He knew he was doing right. He was doing preaching the truth.
Okay, exactly right. He was preaching the truth. But what was he thinking upon? What was he dwelling upon, do you think? Because I think it's key to why he said, listen, I'm happy and I want you to be happy. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Okay? Notice with me, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. Somebody read verse 14. Really read verse 13 and 14 for me, please.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
What was Paul doing? Looking ahead, wasn't he? Looking forward. In fact, then he says in verse number 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, mature, be what? Thus minded. If we claim to be Christians, we should be thinking like this. How? Looking ahead, looking forward to being with God in heaven. Revelation 21, where there will be what? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more trials, no more adversity. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He was looking ahead. He was looking forward to that time of being in heaven with those of the like precious faith with his God. That's what compelled him. That's what motivated him. My brethren, count it all joy. We can have a joyous attitude like Paul in the midst of trials when we are thinking ahead. When we are looking forward to heaven. Let me give you another example. And as I stopped and thought about what Leonard said along with what we talked about, you see this in Paul's life. Not only here in the book of Philippians. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see the context here, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to begin in verse number 8. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live Are all we delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh? So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Go back to verse 8. We are troubled. We are persecuted. He says, we are cast down. What is Paul talking about here in verse 8? He's talking about the trials, right? He was talking about everything he was enduring, Paul. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How could he do that when he was facing so much adversity? All you have to do is keep reading the context. And I want you to think about what was on his mind. I want to begin at verse 16 of chapter 4 now. For which cause, listen to it, we faint not. I'm going through all of this, but I'm not going to give up, okay? I'm not going to give up. I know the outward man is perishing, but this inward man is being renewed day by day. How did Paul find this renewal that gave him this joyous attitude in the midst of trials? He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Notice that, our light affliction. This context has to do with affliction, adversity. It's only for a moment, but it does something for us. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. Notice that, eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where was Paul's mind again? What was Paul dwelling upon? Again, the eternal. He was looking ahead to the eternal. In fact, look at chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so go back to James chapter 1. My brethren, you count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We can have this joyous attitude or we can cultivate a joyous attitude in the midst of trials when we are thinking about heaven. When we are looking forward to being with God in heaven. That's what cultivates this joyous attitude in the midst of trials. Because if we're a Christian, we are now in a position with God where we can look forward, where we can look to the eternal. That is the only way that we can look forward, by being in Christ, by being a Christian, by being in fellowship with God, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. We're now in a position, again, to think ahead. But you know, that's the challenge, I think, as we think about this. Because a lot of times when we are facing adversity, we walk out. And we talked about it. In fact, Paul will talk about it even more. I mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He'll later on say that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And what happens is a lot of times during the trials, we walk by sight and not by faith. And when we walk by sight, we can't look ahead, you see. We can't focus on the eternal. And I realize, you know, it's easy to put this lesson together, to look at what God's Word says. It's a challenge, though, when we face these things in real life. But that's why we talk about these things, and that's why we study these things, and we fill our minds with knowledge, because God is educating us and God is helping us so that we can have the proper attitude, so that we can have the proper understanding. That brings us to the second point, okay? How can I have a joyous attitude in the midst of trials? Well, you have to look ahead. You have to always be thinking ahead. You have to be focused on the eternal. You have to be thinking about heaven. You have to be spiritually minded. But again, I can have the right attitude toward the trials that I face in this life by having understanding what God's Word says. By having an understanding, a spiritual understanding of God's Word. And let me show you this from verse number 3. Knowing this. Now again, James is talking about trials. You count it all joy by looking ahead. And you can have the right attitude because, number 2, verse number 3, because of what we know. Listen to what he says. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. What are some other translations? King James, patience. Steadfastness. Anybody else? Endurance. Perseverance. Okay? By having an understanding, okay, we can have the right attitude toward the trials because of what we know. In other words, here we are in this life, on this earth, and we said that man that is born of woman is full of trouble. Trial after trial after trial. Trials are going to come our way, and here it is. God hasn't left us in the dark, has He? God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, through knowledge. What do we gain from knowledge? Understanding. God is telling us, God is communicating to us why we encounter trials. And when you look at verse number 3, knowing is a key word. In other words, God is telling me, listen, there's a purpose behind all of this adversity. And remember, we talked about the friction, okay? It's the friction upon that rock, upon the diamond that causes that diamond to shine and to be brilliant. Well, again, spiritually speaking, it's the trials. The trials serve as that friction, okay, that causes us to be stronger in the Lord. There is a purpose behind the trials. There's a purpose. God is working in our life. In other words, the trials that we face in this life, they give our faith an opportunity to what? To be exercised. They give our faith an opportunity to be stronger. Okay? Go back to the book of Philippians. Somebody read Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse number 13. Philippians 2, verse 13.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure.
What I need to know is that God is working in my life. If I'm a child of God, if you're a Christian, God's working in your life. God wants you to grow. He wants you to develop. He wants you to be mature. He wants you to be strong. You remember Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. God is wanting us to be stronger. He wants us to be mature. How does He bring about that maturity? How does He help us be stronger in the faith? Well, he allows our faith to go through a process, a purging process, if you please. In fact, the Apostle Peter, if you would, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We read about this process in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. Beginning at verse number 6, the Apostle Peter talks about our trials. He says in verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations or trials, for that the trial of your faith," listen to it, "being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Again, Peter talks about our precious faith that is being tested. How is our faith tested? Through the trials, which is a part of life, that we face in this life. And with an understanding mind, okay, we know that God is working in our life, and we know that the trials that we face in this life give our faith an opportunity to be stronger. And as our faith gets stronger, we are in a better position to face the next trial. Again, once you face one trial, get ready, because I promise you another one will be coming, right? And as we grow, as we get stronger in the Lord, we're now in a position, okay, because we have the right attitude, a joyous attitude, because as I face each trial, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking about the end. I'm thinking about heaven. And as I face the trial, I know why this is happening. I know why I'm experiencing these things. My faith is being tested because this trial is giving my faith an opportunity to grow stronger. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 22, "He that endures to the end will be saved." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul says, "Be steadfast." We can look at Hebrews 12. We can look at 1 Corinthians 9. And you remember, Paul talks about that Christian race. And you stop and you think about that physical race. Athletes, they train, they prepare. Why? Because they are building up their endurance to finish the race. And so it is spiritually speaking. We face the trials in this life because the trials give our faith an opportunity to be exercised. And the purpose of trials, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, it produces something. What is it that it produces? Patience, endurance, steadfastness. Again, we're not left in the dark. God is educating us. This is why we are to grow, 2 Peter 3:18, in knowledge. If we're not growing in an understanding of God's will, when we face hardships, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? God, why is all of this happening to me? And some people, because of a lack of understanding, will even get mad at who? At God. Okay? They'll get mad at God. You look at Paul's life. You look at what he endured. You read, I think this was brought out last week, Hebrews chapter 11. You read about those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11. They had it hard. They had it hard. But they weren't mad at God. In fact, let me show you this, okay? Hebrews is right there. We have James. Go back a book. We're in Hebrews. Let me show you something here. Hebrews chapter 11. We read about Abel. We read about Enoch. We read about Noah, verse 7. Oh, we read about faithful Abraham in verse number 8. Think about Abraham. And everything that we said. Did Abraham face trials? Sure he did. Everybody that's ever walked on this earth has faced adversity. You look at Abraham. Here's Abraham. man that was faithful. What was one of the keys that caused Abraham to endure to the end? It's right here in Hebrews chapter 11. And it fits with what we're saying. Do you see it? Verse number 10. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. What was he doing? He was looking ahead, wasn't he? Listen to it. For he looked, better put these on, for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Look at verse number 16 now, okay? Look at verse number 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. You look at Abraham, and you look at the other individuals that are listed out here that faced trials. They were looking ahead. They were thinking about that heavenly city. Now, obviously, they knew something about that heavenly city. Obviously, they had some knowledge. God was communicating to them. How does God communicate to us? Not through a nudge or some dream, but you're exactly right. Through His Word. And through His Word, we get an understanding that helps us through the trials of this life.
Does He communicate with us through our conscience?
Okay, yes, but through the Word of God. And what do I mean by that? And that's a good question. You think about the conscience, and how does the conscience work? What does it do? This is the part of the heart, and we talked about this. The Bible heart is made up of four parts, like the physical heart. You have the intellect. This is where you take in knowledge. You have the will. This is where we choose whether or not we're going to follow God. We have the emotional aspect of the heart. People struggle in this part. But this is where we experience joy, peace, anger. The Philippian jailer obeyed the gospel. And how did he go away? He went away rejoicing. The rich young ruler was told to go and sell all that he had and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful, okay? That's the emotional part of the heart. But then number four, you have the conscience, and this is the part of the heart where we discern between right and wrong. Well, Jeremiah 4 verse 22, God said this about His people: My people are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. So what are we saying about the conscience? It has to be educated if it's going to work for us to make those good decisions, okay? To discern between good and evil, you have to educate your conscience, because if not, you're basically going to decide what you think is bad or good. And that's why you have people today, well, and I'm just throwing this out there, you have people today saying, well, you know, what's the big deal with homosexuality, okay? Well, they don't understand what God's Word says about that. So there's a way that seems right unto man, the conscience, right? But the end thereof is the ways of death. It's not a man that walketh direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. We need an understanding of God's Word, okay? And we gain that understanding through a knowledge that has been revealed in the Bible. The Bible. That's why it's so important to have a spiritual understanding. Now go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. There's so many different contexts that basically illustrate the same thing. And what I like about this is you can take these different contexts, okay, and then you can apply these same contexts to contexts like James chapter 1, where James is talking about trials. And if we're going to have the right attitude, again, we see we have to be looking ahead. We have to be thinking about heaven. That's what makes us happy. And number two, we have to have an understanding, a knowledge of God's Word that, you know, I'm going through this, and this trial is giving my faith an opportunity to be stronger, and it produces, as I get stronger, it produces patience in the Christian race. Now, again, think about this. We're talking about understanding. Now, here's Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 9. Paul is praying for the brethren. And Paul prays that the brethren would increase in what? Knowledge. You see that? That's what we're talking about. This is where we gain understanding. But listen to what Paul said. I pray that you will increase in knowledge. Paul says, then I want you to take that knowledge that you gain from God's Word, and I want you to treat it with something. You see that in the text? I want you to treat it with what? Wisdom and spiritual understanding. As Paul would say in Ephesians 5, verse 17, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we face trials, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to know that this trial that I'm facing shouldn't drive me away from God. It should drive me closer to God. Because God is helping my faith grow. He's helping me to be stronger. He is working in my life. My faith is going through a purging process like gold. Okay, you heat that gold up. It goes through the fiery furnace. The impurities are removed. And what do you have? Fine gold. You remember what Job said? Job 23:10. I think we highlighted this verse last week. After Job says this, after I'm tested, I'm paraphrasing this, after I'm tested by God, I will be as gold. I like that. I will be as gold. And so, as we stop and think about the trials of this life, we must learn to cultivate a joyous attitude, number one. The only way you're going to do that is by looking forward. Because of who we are as New Testament Christians, we are in a position to look ahead. We can be thinking about that heavenly city. And number two, we have to have a knowledge of God's Word. An understanding mind, number two. And we can have an understanding mind because of what God has revealed to us about the trials that we face in this life. And finally, number three, and we're almost out of time. Look at verse number four, third point. Perseverance, okay? That's the purpose of trials. Verse number three, perseverance. The perseverance of trials requires, verse number four, a submissive will. Now, we talked about the will already, but it requires a submissive will. Listen to verse 4. But let patience, verse number 3, let the trials work in your life. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, entire, wanting, in other words, lacking nothing. Here's the point. You go through the trials of this life, don't resist them. Don't fight against them. Allow the trials to fulfill their purpose. You know what will happen? They will fortify your faith. They will fortify your faith. If you allow God to work in your life, if you understand the purpose of trials, ultimately they will make you stronger. And so don't resist them. Don't fight against them. Have a humble attitude. Have a submissive attitude. Be faithful to God. Don't reject God. Don't denounce God. You see, that's how we can resist the trial. We can denounce God. We can turn our back on God. We can blame God. Don't do that. Understand again the purpose. Understand the hope that you have. Understand that your faith is growing through all of this. And so James says, beginning at verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Lord willing, when we come back next week, we're going to be looking at verse number 5. We're going to be talking about wisdom. And you know, wisdom is one